trying to take another lady to a church, a Spanish-speaking church. The lady doesn't have a ride, so she's going to take her there. So I hope she gets to take her there. She didn't sleep much last night, so I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, go ahead, Candace.
As usual, I try to keep my ears open for that still small voice to let me know what I'm supposed to sing, and sometimes he'll wait until the last minute. This one is called Always Enough by Casting Crowns.
Lord, I worship you today. I welcome you into this house.
Yes.
Lord, it is great to surrender to you. In the trying, weary land, Lord, you are the rain. And in the sea of shattered ones, your love comes rushing in. You hold the world within your hands and see each tear that falls through every fire and every storm. You're always enough, always enough. Your love is peace to the broken, faith for the widow, and hope for the orphan, and strength for the weak. Your love is the anthem of nations, rings out through the ages, and you're always enough. My life is in your hands. And confusion hides my way. You're always enough, always enough. Your love is peace to the broken.
Yes.
And faith for the widow. For the weak, your love is the anthem of nations, brings out through the ages, and you're always here. So rejoice. Thank you.
are given praise. Thank you.
That's a beautiful song, but I would turn to one more.
You ever played any of those video games? I know you were older, but you ever those video games? Pick up something or whatever you did. But they love to play these video games. So, one summer, it was back when Micah was probably in middle school or something, he was at the house over the summer, he had a summer off, and we had a computer, and I noticed Micah was in there, he's playing this game. He was just playing it over and over and over again, and just every time I go in there, he's playing the same game. And At the time, I wouldn't let him have video games. I said, there's no need to pay $40 for a video game, and all this. Or then we got a computer sitting there, you can get a game on it. And he was playing this game over and over again. Finally, I went in there and said, what are you doing? What is it that's got your attention? And you are just so wrapped up in this game, because he was just really focusing on this thing. And so I sat down with him and I said, well, show me what you do here. Where's your instruction manual? There's no instruction manual.
That's why I don't do it.
If you're going to play these things, you don't have an instruction manual. You're supposed to learn as you go. And so I said, okay, like red flag to me, But I got on it, and I started doing it, and it led you, it taught you everything you needed to know, basically, as you went through it. You didn't have to have an instruction manual, because it taught you how to do everything as you went through it. Pop up and give you, this is what you do here, here's what you do here, and then you try it, And so it was a game where you try to conquer the enemy, and you get your troops to go against the enemy camp or whatever. And I thought about that always enough that Candace was singing, You wanted to have enough troops when you went against the enemy camp to overcome them, to conquer them. Now, otherwise, you just got to get wiped out. You got to build back up and do it again. And so, but I thought about that and I thought, well, that's good. So, but I saw this video game as I looked at it, and I realized this video game is excellent, but not for the same reasons that a kid playing it might think. The reason it was so excellent is the way it trained you. You would have different kinds of troops, different kinds of units, and so every time you get a new unit, you get a new mission to use that unit on. And you would try to do that mission using this new unit that you had, along with the old ones that you'd already learned. And so it just very stepwise introduced something new, and then you got a chance to use it. Next thing new, and then you got a chance to use it. And you could keep doing this over and over until you got it, until you learned it, and we're pretty good at it. And I thought, what a tremendous education and training tool this is. The way they're doing this, you could learn anything, And so I said, I got to think, what would be the ultimate? Well, if you're on a spaceship, and you woke up on this spaceship, and you didn't know anything about how to run a spaceship. You just woke up, and it's like, what am I doing here? I got a spaceship, and I don't know how to run it. I'm flying through space, and I don't know how to operate this thing. What would I do? Well, you would sit down at the computer or whatever, and you go through a game similar to this, and it would teach you how to run the whole ship. You would learn it piece by piece by piece by piece. Do this, try this, then you do it, and then you learn how to do it, And that would be an excellent way, instead of just sitting and reading a book about how to do it, you would do it, you would actually read a little bit and do it, or see someone do it, and then you would do it, So I thought, that's an excellent game. It's a tremendous game. But it also taught you about warfare. Well, why is warfare interesting? Why is warfare interesting to the Christian? Well, yeah,
we have to fight.
We have to fight. We have to fight. Okay, you know, Jesus, God created us for a purpose, didn't He? And as you read through the Bible, you ask people, why did God make us, or what is our purpose? And all, you'll get all kinds of answers. Okay? For the praise of His glory, you know, for our fellowship with Him. And all these things are right. All these things are true. He did. But there's also a purpose that He may have that people don't usually bring out. Okay? And that purpose is dominion over all the earth. We're put in dominion over all the earth. But something happened about our dominion, didn't it? And now, to exercise dominion over the earth, instead of it being fairly easy, we have to do what? We have to fight. We have to fight. So you might say that a part of our purpose is to fight. Because if part of our purpose is dominion, if we're to exercise dominion, we're going to have to fight to do it. We've got to fight. Mm-hmm. And I got to thinking about the purpose and what is our purpose. I got to think about some of the things in the Bible that points toward this. Ephesians 6 talks about the armor of God. Right? Well, who needs armor? Soldiers need armor, don't they? Civilians don't wear armor, but soldiers need armor. They need the helmet, right? The Roman soldier, which is the example that Paul was using, they had a helmet. They had a belt, had their feet shod with gospel of peace. They had a breastplate, right? And they had a shield. And they had a sword. Well, there are only two things that might be thought of as being an active type of weapon in that armor, right? Everything else is defensive, but there's two that are thought of as being active. All right, one is your shoes, right, to make you go forward, right? You need those shoes to propel you forward against the enemy. And what are those shoes? The gospel of peace, the good news of peace. Well, how do you get the good news of peace going? You speak it, don't you? Well, what about the sword? What's the sword?
Word.
Yeah. The sword of the Spirit, which is the
Word.
Word of God. The Word of God. It's also, we speak the Word of God. Right? You were talking about speaking to my bodies, saying come into design specifications. Yeah. Regenerate. Regenerate head. Regenerate eyes, ears. Regenerate organs of my body. Regenerate. As it's done in heaven, so let God's will be done
on
earth and in my body.
Yeah.
God created our bodies a certain way, right?
Man.
Any way that is outside of the way He created them to be is not in His will.
Exactly.
Right? And we are to establish His will.
Yeah.
Well, how are we supposed to establish His will? How are we supposed to fight? What is our weapon to fight with? Our words. So we speak our words over the things that we want to affect. Okay? Now, so we got the armor of God. Paul said, I fought the good fight. He said, I live life as a Christian. I fought the good fight. The two are together in his eyes. Right? They're the same thing. I fought the good fight. I run the race. I've done my purpose. He says, I'm ready to die because I fulfill my purpose. I have fought the good fight. Let's see, in that same passage in Ephesians 6, he talks about, for we wrestle, we struggle, not against flesh and blood, but we struggle, we wrestle, right? We're at odds with, right? What? Spiritual forces against God, against his will. So let's see. Satan is called the enemy. In several places in the New Testament, the enemy, the enemy, the enemy. Well, that brings to mind warfare, right? If you got an enemy, you're going to fight against the enemy. You're going to try to overcome. Mm-hmm. We just read in Revelation, Brother Thurston read about overcoming. To every single church, he says, to those who overcome.
Amen.
In other words, he says, I got a reward for everyone who overcomes, but everyone who overcomes is in every one of the churches. All right? This is what you get. This is your reward. Now, the word overcome is translated in the English Standard Bible as the word conquer. Conquer. So the idea is Christians ought to be going around conquering.
Amen.
We ought to be going around overcoming. We ought to be going around fighting the enemy. Right? We ought to be going around struggling and wrestling and overcoming. But now how do we do that? How do we do that? Well, I don't need to sharpen my sword here. You know? That's a metaphor. The sword is what? It's a metaphor for our words, the word of God. What we should be speaking is the word of God. What we should be speaking is the word of God. Right? We should sharpen our sword by getting in the word, knowing what it says. Right? And like Jesus did when the enemy came against him, what did he cut him down with? The word of God. He quoted scripture. That was our example. Right? We should know scripture. We should understand scripture. Right? And we should cut down the enemy with it. Right? Cut down the enemy with it. Yes. So, now, one of the things that Adam had to understand and that we need to understand is the structure that's set up. Okay? Adam could go and he could speak and it would be done. Jesus, he could speak and it would be done. The Roman centurion sent men to Jesus. He didn't go himself. He sent people to Jesus. Because whatever I say, I tell them to say. And they do what I tell them to do. That's called delegation of authority. They go in the authority of the centurion. They went to Jesus. And so it was just as if the guy himself was saying it to Jesus. In fact, if you read the gospel accounts, you find one account doesn't even talk about people going. It talks about him going. In the other account, we understand, oh no, it wasn't him going. He was sending servants. He was sending people to Jesus to say his words for him.
Thank you for explaining that.
Yes. In two accounts, you'll find it different like that. And the reason is that the Bible, what God is trying to show us is understanding authority, understanding the delegation of authority, okay? If we get that, when we get that, then we will be much more powerful in our battles.
Yes, in other words, we're praying for somebody or speaking something coming against Donald Trump or something else. We're actually there in authority doing it when we speak it out.
And whose authority are we coming in?
God's.
Remember the Roman centurion, what he said. He said, there's no need for you to come, Jesus, because I am a man under authority. And I have people under my authority, under me, right? I tell one of them to go, and he goes, and another one to come, and he comes, another one to do this, and he does it. What he understood was, I am obedient to my authority above me. And because I'm obedient, I got lifted up to a centurion position. You know, the people who get promoted in the army are the ones who are most obedient. That sounds strange. Not the ones that can fight better, but the ones who are most obedient and follow orders best. They're the ones that get promoted. Now, because I am in the position I'm in, I've got influence over the people underneath me. Right? What is that influence? Well, whatever I say to them, they do it. Now, why do I have influence? Because when they hear my commands, they understand those commands are not just coming from me.
Yes.
They're coming from all of Caesar, if you will. The Roman Senate, they're coming from Caesar. So when the centurion told this to Jesus, you don't have to come to my house. I didn't have to come to you to tell you what I wanted. He says, Jesus, I understand authority. But I understand that you also are under authority. You're under God's authority. And you have people under you. So all you got to do is just say the word, and my servant will be healed. You see? And Jesus marveled. He said, I haven't found so great a faith in all of Israel. In the whole nation of Israel, I haven't found the faith to match this Roman centurion's faith. Because he understands delegation of authority. When you speak to accomplish anything, healing or anything, don't speak in your authority.
Yes.
You're speaking in his authority. That's the influence you have to make things happen. Is when you speak, it comes from God. That's why you want to speak the word of God.
Yeah.
As much as you can. We want to speak the will of God.
Yes.
Right? It's God's will that our bodies be the way God designed them to be.
Right.
So I can speak in his authority, his will be done, his kingdom come.
That guy's faithfulness excited God.
It did. It excited. Jesus got excited. Man, woo. Yeah. Wishes all of Israel could be this way. With this kind of faith. And we as a church need to have that kind of faith. We need to know that when we speak, we're being backed up. You see? We're being backed up. We got authority. Remember the old movies that come knock on the door, open up in the name of the law. They didn't say, open up in the name of Sheriff Wyatt Earp. They said, open up in the name of the law. Refers to the nation. The whole nation's behind this guy. Mm-hmm. You know, in other words, if you don't open up for me, somebody else is coming along bigger and stronger and mightier, but more of them. And they will get this door open. You see, it's not just me that's talking. It's not just you that's talking.
No.
All right? You need to realize that when you say something, you're speaking with the authority of Jesus.
Yeah.
What did Jesus say? In Matthew 28, third from the last verse, it's the prelude to the Great Commission, but actually it ought to be part of the Great Commission. In verse 18, he says, all power, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. It's all his. So we don't have any authority. We don't need authority. We're just his delegates. We carry out his will. And in the same way that Roman centurion carried out Caesar's will, we carry out God's will.
Yeah.
And it's just as the Roman centurion had all of Rome to back up what he said, all the Senate, Caesar, all those troops, everybody to back up what he said, we got someone to back up what we say. overcome by the blood of the Lamb. We overcome. And we don't back down from a fight. You know, Bible teacher Curry Blake says, there's one person you don't want to ever fight. And that's the guy who loves to fight. Because he don't care whether he wins or lose. He just loves to fight. He'll never give up. Because he just loves to fight. So we need to be people who love to overcome. Love to fight. Love to win. Hate to lose. Love to win. Hate to lose. Curry Blake says that's the secret of his being able to heal so many people. He says, I hate to lose. I hate to lose. So when he gets in, he just wants to, I'm not going to give up. I'm not backing down. So we want to be warriors. We want to be warriors.
We also want to use our angels, not neglect the salvation that we have through angels. Because that's sending troops out too, you know, that's our angels.
Yeah.
We sometimes forget how powerful angels are going to be to help us.
Angels help us. Actually, I don't know all the inner workings of it. I'm a scientist. I want to know the inner workings. But I don't know all the inner workings of just how this works, but I know it works.
Yeah.
I know it works. I know that in Psalm 103 it says, angels are his ministers. They rush to carry out his word. You read that in Psalm 103. Y'all can look it up. But they rush to carry out his word, to do his will. Well, you know what? When we speak his word, what do we put into motion? Say it loud.
Angels.
All right. Yeah. Say it loud. And let them hear you. Angels, y'all hear. Y'all hear what we say. Yeah.
Before them who are heirs of salvation.
That's right. Yes. I mean, there's all kinds of verses that we can pull out and support this. So, you know, in the Old Testament, he said, I'm not driving out all of the Canaanites and whatever before the people of Israel when they went into the land. He said, I'm not driving them all out at once. I'm going to leave some of them in there so your children can learn to be fighters. So they can learn war and they can learn to be fighters. You know, I think one of the things today the church has lost is the love of fighting, the knowledge of how to fight. But we're regaining it. So those that you have influence over, teach them. You got to fight. You got to fight. You got to win. You got to overcome. Never back down from a battle.
Whoa.
Never back down. Just go in slugging and keep slugging till you win.
Amen.
And in that video game I told you at the beginning, that's the way you win your missions. You go in and hit them one time and you get creamed. So you retool, make more troops, and you go in and hit them again. And you keep hitting them and hitting them and hitting them until you win. You win. We are winners. We are overcomers. We are conquerors.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
And we need to walk and talk and think. Hold ourselves like, I'm a winner.
Jesus.
I'm a winner. I'm a winner over Satan. I'm a winner. And I'm going to use the word of God to defeat him every time. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Let's bless the food. Father, thank you so much for the food and all the work that's gone in to prepare all this for us. We thank you and we say blessings upon all those folks. And Father, make us all winners. Father, make us all fighters. Let us get up and fight. Even the women, Father, the women are wonderful fighters. There's Joan of Arc, there's Deborah, there's so many other women that were fighters and that overcame every obstacle in their lives. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you for being with us and giving us this power. Power to help other people. If I were to defeat the enemy, the work of the enemy, the lives of those around us. Thank you, Father, for your blessings. Amen.
Woo.
Okay, all right.
That was very good, right?